TV.
Hey there, Dodo. Chase ain't that there.
Hello, everybody. The first thing I want to do is thank Adam Miller of Amarillo, Texas, for designing this shirt for me. It says, "This eon is really starting to feel like Monday." Here's the shirt. Indeed. Indeed it is. Thank you, Adam Miller, for that. For those of you going to the conference in Kansas City on May 15th, 16th, and 17th, Adam Miller will be there with his parents, Todd and Dolly. They have never been to a conference. I met them back in, I suppose it was 2010. I was traveling around the country. And met them in Amarillo, had a home meeting there. They've sponsored a conference, a little mini meeting at their home. I remember Dan Sheridan taught there. And we did have one at a canyon somewhere in Texas. We had a nice little retreat. And then Clyde was there. I was there. Dan Sheridan was there. God, you know what? My sister was there. Kelly was there. And it was a heck of a good time. Todd and Dolly put it on. So they've never, since then, since like 2010 or 11, whatever that was, they've never been to a conference. So they will be here. And so maybe this is a good reason for some people to go to the conference, to meet people who have never been to a conference. I want people who have never been to a conference to come to this conference. This may be the last conference ever. So let's get a good group there. I will be announcing the speakers later after I contact them, but I will be there. What more do you need to know? I will, even if no other speaker showed up, I am not kidding you, I would teach 15 messages. I would go the whole weekend because I love it. This is what I do. And I love meeting people. I always go home from conferences exhausted. Because I give everything. I mean, I just put it all out there, just like I do on the show every day. So, and any other speaker I bring, they're the same way. You will not hear a speaker who is not passionate about this topic, who does not love the Word of God, love our expectation, love Paul's letters, love the gospel of the grace of God. So, yes, I am Martin Zenner. Before I get into the topic at hand, which is Satan being the opposite of the Wizard of Oz, I saw this video clip on YouTube. It was some religious guy, and he was reporting a comment he heard from R.C. Sproul. R.C. Sproul was a famous Calvinist, and apparently, but of course, believed the standard issue crap, eternal torment, the Trinity. He just didn't believe in free will because he was a Calvinist. So he believed in the sovereignty of God, but believed that God purposely brought people into the world in order to torture them for eternity. And of course, he didn't believe that Jesus Christ died because he's a Trinitarian. So a mess. The guy is a real mess. So he was at a conference and somebody asked a question. I guess it was a Q&A time, which we will have in Kansas City, by the way. I will be your host. Try to ask a question I don't know the answer to. It would be a challenge to you. It has happened. It's embarrassing. I don't like it when it happens, but it has happened. Maybe you'll be the one who will. I think it happened once. It was terrible, terrible experience. No, I have no problem saying I don't know. And in fact, I enjoy it because it's such a rare experience for me to ever have to say that. So it's really a thrill for me. So somebody asked Sproul, said, "You and Billy Graham, you are so on the opposite ends. You're on the end of Calvinism, which states that God predetermines everything, which is actually true. And the Arminian position, which Billy Graham championed, which is that everyone has a free will. God just hopes they will, that people will choose him, that people will love him. And this has been a great theological debate. Somebody asked Sproul, you have this great gulf between you and Billy Graham. Billy Graham, of course, being the free will guy. Do you think you will see Billy Graham in heaven? Ooh, wow, what a question. Do you think you will see Billy Graham in heaven? There was a pregnant pause in the auditorium. And R.C. Sproul, the great man of God, who doesn't know shit about shit, said, no. There was an audible gasp, a collective gasp throughout the crowd. The eminent Mr. Sproul, the great R.C. Sproul, let the disturbance die down before adding, because Billy Graham will be so near to the throne of God and I so far away that I will not be able to see him. God, that made me so sick. I needed to take an Alka-Seltzer and a swig of Pepto-Bismol. Why the hell would Billy Graham be anywhere near the throne of God, being a man who denies the success of Christ at the cross, a man who has taken God off the throne and put the human race on the throne, who believes that salvation doesn't depend on Christ but on human beings, who also believes that Jesus Christ did not die and therefore that Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead because he's God, don't you know? Yeah, the lie of the Trinity. Billy Graham believed every demonic doctrine to come down the pike, every single one. So why in the world is he going to be close to God? Because he was on the cover of Time magazine several times? Because he was the friend of presidents? Because he sponsored, he conducted evangelistic crusades in which he told the crowd not to pray for people because people have to act independently. Crusades in which he challenged human beings to present themselves to God so that maybe God would save them if they said the right prayers or were sincere enough or cried in the right way with the right amount of tears. Billy Graham, what a sham. The man was an absolute faker. Didn't wake up thinking he was a faker. Didn't know he was a faker. No, he didn't know. But you don't have to know you're a faker to be one. What a deceiver. Billy Graham would be so near to the throne of God. And I so far. Oh, you humble R.C. Sproul. What a humble guy. And I so far away. None of you clowns will be there. None of you clowns are in the body of Christ. Billy Graham obviously worships the creature rather than the creator, that is, the human, puts the human will above the divine will. Sproul doesn't even believe Jesus Christ died, which is a founding stone of Paul's gospel. So many people have told me that Calvinists, while they claim to believe in the sovereignty of God, they're closet free willers because it takes a sick, really sick person, and I'm not sure anyone is as sick, maybe so, to think of God as purposely bringing people into the world, preventing them from believing because he's sovereign. And then after preventing them, after actively preventing people from believing in him, sends them to hell for not believing in him. No. These guys are both losers. I need some whiskey. Hang on one second. My voice is going. I tried to get a sip of coffee, but that doesn't work. It's only whiskey. Please, you may speak quietly among yourselves while I retrieve the distilled beverage of my choice, whatever shows up in the cabinet. One moment. somebody sent me this. I'm sorry, I can't remember who sent me this. Terrible. This is Buffalo Trace Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey right here. You see, it's almost gone. Okay. Talking about these religionists makes me a little crazy. Okay. Done with that. Here we go. Thank you very much. This always does the job. Okay. Testing. 1, 2, 3. There it is. There it is. It's amazing. I'm back. Speaking of, sounded like the Cowardly Lion, didn't it? One of my favorite movies, The Wizard of Oz. That stuff's making my eyes water. Whoa. When Dorothy, the Tin Man, the Cowardly Lion, and the Scarecrow get to Oz, they meet the Wizard of Oz in the form of a weird green head. You've seen it, of course. Everybody's seen this movie. The weird green head. It's ugly. It's scary. It's meant to intimidate on the outside, isn't it? And then later, it takes Toto, a little dog, to go behind the curtain, pull the curtain back, and to find out that the Wizard of Oz is not some big, ugly, scary green face. That's just the front meant to scare you. It's actually a kindly little old man behind a curtain. But Satan, ladies and gentlemen, our adversary, is the opposite of the Wizard of Oz, because he presents himself as an inviting, kindly old man, or the nice little lady across the street, or the teen pastor, the youth pastor, bright and vibrant, with a beautiful smile, a lovely wife, like Joel Osteen with his 55 teeth, and his wife who has 58 teeth, smiling, telling you how wonderful your life can be, inviting you in, let our church be your home. No intimidation here, just love. And they love bomb you. They just flatter the hell out of you. They invite you to their church until, of course, you taste of their wares and then reject them. Then you'll never hear from them again, of course. But the presentation is the opposite. Instead of a big, green, scary face with a little old man, nice little old man, actually turns out to be quite accommodating behind the curtain. No, Satan presents himself as kindly and gentle. But behind the curtain, oh my God, if Toto were to pull that curtain back, that dog would shit himself and piss all over the floor, the polished floors of Oz, instantly, and would drop dead from fear. Because the demon, the false god, who I believe to be Baal Peor, is so malevolent, so scary. John, in the book of Revelation, saw unclean spirits as being like frogs. So it is supposed from this that unclean spirits are reptilian. The snake is not a celebrated creature in God's word. The serpent. Satan is called the serpent. Certain is a reptile. Snake is a reptile. Frogs are reptiles. There's something not good about any of this. But this is behind the curtain. So it's the opposite of us. Speaking of Satan, before I get into any deeper into this topic, you know, one of Satan's greatest deceptions is to get some people to not even believe in him. Can you believe? Some people, even in the body of Christ, some people think that Satan is a metaphor for evil. Well, that's fascinating, because I wonder if in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, when our Lord is having a conversation with the adversary, with Satan, what's to keep somebody from thinking that Jesus Christ was not real, that he was just a metaphor for good, a representative, a story? Jesus was led up into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tried by the adversary. Verse 3, and approaching the trier, said to him, the adversary, said to him, spoke to him, if you're God's son, say that these stones may be becoming cakes of bread. Then the adversary, of course, Jesus Christ, denies him his satisfaction, rightly so. Then the adversary, verse 5, is taking him along into the holy city. If you are God's son, cast these stones down. Jesus answers him. It is written, you shall not be putting to trial the Lord your God. So there's a conversation between two beings. Two GPS locatable actual beings. Our Lord Jesus Christ and the adversary Satan, who is a GPS locatable being. But what a great coup. What a coup to cause people, even in the body of Christ, to think he doesn't exist. My God, he loves that. That's the ultimate deception. Think of what he can do when people don't think he even exists. My God, you can operate in the shadows, undercover. You don't have to be undercover. Just do it out in the open, because these people who don't think he exists, they rely on their own feelings, their own ideas. There's a fellow who's a subscriber here watching the videos. I'm glad he's here. Happy he's here. But you may have seen his comments. He believes the celestial world is not real. It's just metaphoric for our exaltedness in the next eon. We're not actually going to a celestial realm, because there's no such thing as a celestial realm. It's all metaphoric. It doesn't exist. Well, just as I would point out Jesus Christ conversing with Satan in Matthew 4, I would go to Genesis 1:1 at the beginning of creation and say, God created the heaven and the earth. Is the earth real? Yeah, it looks pretty real to me. So someone would have the burden of proof on them to say that, well, the earth is real, but heaven is not. Heaven is not? God created both realms. If we're going to say that Satan is a fictitious being, just a metaphor for evil, then we'll have to say, well, Jesus Christ, who was conversing with him, he must be a metaphor for good. It doesn't really exist. Okay, these are lies. The celestial world is real. We will have an exalted position, but we don't need a metaphor to describe it, because we will be it. But it is the location. Whatever is not on earth is in heaven, and there's an on heaven, epiuranos, Greek word there, and that will be our realm of operation. Now back to Satan. Oh, wait a minute, I'm still talking about Satan. When I was thinking about Satan, I couldn't help but think of R.C. Sproul and Billy Graham, too. Emissaries of Satan, who are celebrated as great men of God, but who don't know the first thing about God's Aeonian purpose. And here you got some guy wearing a homemade t-shirt by a young man living in Amarillo, Texas, broadcasting from a bedroom, who to whom God has given the secrets of the universe, the Aeonian purpose of God. These guys don't never even heard of the word Aeonian. They don't know anything. They're both deceased. Thank God they're not deceiving people anymore. And, you know, on the bright side, they won't have to go through the tribulation, but they're going to have their own brand of tribulation at the Great White Throne, because neither one of them are in the body of Christ. So Satan is the ultimate deceiver, isn't he? And yesterday I shared the passage from 2 Corinthians 11. Let's start with verse 12. Now, what I am doing, Paul speaking, and will be doing, is that I should strike off the incentive from those wanting an incentive, that in what they are boasting, they may be found according as we also. I have no freaking idea what he meant by that, and I'm really sorry I started with that verse. Let's go with verse 13 now. And such are false apostles, fraudulent workers. Billy Graham was a false apostle, a fraudulent worker. Fraudulent. And again, fraudulent workers do not wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be fraudulent today. No, they have no realization that they are a vessel of dishonor. They think they are great. They think they are heralding the gospel. Billy Graham's gospel was turn or burn. Billy Graham's gospel was believe now or else. That's not a gospel. It's a non-gospel. He habitually mixed the two evangels, the gospel of Israel and the gospel of the grace of God, continuously. Did not know there was a difference between them. Paul pronounced an anathema on anyone who does that in Galatians chapter 1. It's right there. Anathema. Cursed be you. Billy Graham is cursed. And he will have a lot to answer for at the dais. No, I'm not at the dais. He's not going to be at the dais. He will have a lot to answer for at the Great White Throne. Don't stand too close to Billy Graham at the Great White Throne. It's going to be ugly. R.C. Sproul right behind him. Couple of false, fraudulent workers. They're frauds. They're men of fame. They are men of earthly accomplishments, men with doctorate degrees, with degrees given to them by humans. They went to school to learn about God. They wanted to be famous. They wanted to attain, just like Saul the Pharisee. They wanted to attain to great things in the world. What did they become? Fraudulent workers. They were transfigured, which is a trick. Transfigured, a change into apostles of Christ, but they're not true apostles of Christ. Just as the demon that runs the Christian religion is not a Christian. Oh no. But because of the happy face, the opposite of the Wizard of Oz, because of the happy face, has seduced billions of people into this religion. Billions. Who will wake up at the Great White Throne and find out that their whole lives they were deceived. Because the curtain will be pulled back then, and they will see what they have been worshiping. They were not worshiping the true God and the true Christ. Paul says in that same letter, 2 Corinthians, same chapter, chapter 11, verse 4, "For if indeed he who is coming is heralding another Jesus." Billy Graham and R.C. Sproul heralded another Jesus. Because Jesus does not torment anyone for eternity. Both those gentlemen believed that. They're not gentlemen. They're wild maniacs. And they believed that God was an eternal tormentor. That Jesus sent people to hell for eternity who did not love him. That is another Jesus. "For if indeed he who is coming to you," Billy Graham, R.C. Sproul, and many others, "is heralding another Jesus whom we do not herald." This is not the Jesus we herald. The Jesus we herald, 1 Timothy 4:10, is the Savior of all humanity. Or you are obtaining a different spirit. Oh, these men had a different spirit, a demonic spirit. But demonic spirits present themselves as light, as goodness, as experts in their field, famous, popular. Everybody wants to go to see R.C. Sproul at the auditorium. Everybody wants to go to a Billy Graham crusade. Oh, it's Billy Graham. I saw him on the news. I saw him standing next to President Bush. Oh, I saw him on the cover of Time magazine. R.C. Sproul, doesn't he have a lot of books on the New York Times bestseller list? Paul says you are obtaining a different spirit, which you did not obtain. That is, you did not obtain it from us. Or a different evangel. Oh my God, talk about it. This relates to Galatians chapter 1. A different evangel, which you did not receive. That is, you did not receive it from us. You are bearing with him. In other words, you're putting up with false apostles because they're deceived. They're deceived by the nice face. They're deceived by the clean and welcoming invitation. Oh, but behind the curtain is the most malevolent, ugly, reptilian, spiritual force of wickedness that you will ever hopefully not see. But I think these people will see at the Great White Throne. Finally, they will see what they worshipped their entire lives. It wasn't Jesus. It was a different Jesus. It wasn't God. It was a different God. It was a false God. And there are false gods in the world. And they are ugly. And they are malevolent. But again, they present themselves as purity, lightness, goodness, morality. Oh, they encourage you to be moral. In fact, they demand that you be moral. And the threat is not far behind. The threat is very thinly veiled. Turn or burn. Do this or else. But God loves you. Well, we welcome you. We accept you. But you better come here every Sunday. You better clean up your life. You better keep the Sabbath holy. you better not take the Lord's name in vain. On and on it goes. And yet these people are the ones taking the Lord's name in vain because they call themselves by the name of Christ, and yet they are fraudulent workers. Christ will deny them in the end, saying, I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. Verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is being transfigured into a messenger of light. There it is. There it is. It is no great thing then if his servants, R.C. Sproul, Billy Graham, Joel Osteen, and others, his servants are being transfigured as dispensers of righteousness, whose consummation shall be according to their acts. Their consummation is aeonian death. They will die for the eon, possibly for the fifth eon as well, after they are condemned at the great white throne. But because Jesus Christ is the Savior of all humanity, they will be saved in the end, but they will be the last. These religionists will be the last of humanity to come into salvation. They'll come because God's the Savior of all humanity, but they will be the last because they spit on the grace of God by insisting upon works, by insisting upon a forced, a flesh-inspired obedience without which these men and women condemned you to hell for eternity. Like the disciples who threatened the enemies of Christ with fire, Jesus said to them, you don't know what spirit you're of. These people truly do not know what spirit they are of. And there is a day of reckoning coming for all of them.